Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship with us today. Special welcome to those of you joining us from home. It is a blessing we can be one community beyond distance. As we prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning with our confession, I invite all those who are able to stand and turn toward the font. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in that promise, I invite us to take a moment of silence for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sin. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, God gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us live in your image, created for you. Let us act for your glory, redeemed by you. Let us give you what is yours. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your hearts, minds, and ears to hear the Word of God.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 45. Thus says the Lord, anointed to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him and strip kings of their robes, to open doors before him, and the gates shall not be closed. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel my chosen, I call you by your name. I surname you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I arm you, though you do not know me, so that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Yeah.
The second reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always thank God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you. Because of your message, our message of the gospel, come to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "Caesar's." Then Jesus said to them, "Give therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Created in your image, O God, guide us in your ways of grace and mercy, so that all the world may come to know you more fully. And now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, and the living of our lives be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some of you have asked if we preachers could put a title in the bulletin each week. And while I can't speak for Pastor Ben or Deacon Claire, to be honest, for me that's always proved challenging because of what I call the delay of the Holy Spirit. That is to say that the title on the sermon, if you had to do that and put it in the bulletin on Wednesday or Thursday, it would be done before the sermon was written. And that would be difficult because I don't always have the clear direction of where the sermon will go. For me, it's hard to imagine that being my job anyway. It is, after all, the work of the Spirit that's speaking to your hearts from my lips to God's ears. But this week I decided to go for it. So you see in black and white the title for today's sermon, A Trap, A Test, and A Twist. Once the bulletin went to print, all I had to do was hope and pray that the Spirit would kick in sometime between the retreat all day yesterday at Camp Lutherwood and this morning at about 8:30. And trust, as I always do, that the Spirit will speak to the hearts of God's people, to your hearts and to mine. But it's all up to the Spirit, and it always has been. So here it goes, a trap, a test, and a twist. A recap. They were out to get Jesus. This was a trap. As keepers of the law of Moses and strict adherers to the Jewish traditions, the Pharisees saw Jesus as a threat to their religious teachings and to their heritage. Meanwhile, the Herodians were supporters of the political aspirations of the family of Herod the Great. And they saw Jesus as a threat to the Roman Empire. These two very distinct groups of people, while holding virtually nothing in common, teamed up in an attempt to entrap Jesus. They were intent on discrediting Jesus in public. And so first they used flattery. We're told that Jesus knew the intent was filled with malice, that it was evil. However, Jesus doesn't fear public opinion, nor is he impressed by a person's credentials or their pedigree or their influence in the world. He saw right through that. And he saw what was behind their question. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Or your translation has the emperor. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? It's also a trick question. It'd be like asking, when did you stop lying? Or when did you stop beating your dog? Not going to use the other one. Jesus, the wise teacher, doesn't fall for that. He sees right through their evil intent and their motive to trap him. A yes answer on Jesus' part will undermine his credibility with those who place their allegiance with God alone. But if Jesus answers no, it will increase the suspicion that he's a political agitator. The Roman occupation of Israel at that time already resulted in the public execution of insurrectionists as a means of controlling anyone who dared to speak out against the empire. But Jesus is very clever. Instead of answering their question, he asked them to show him the coin. Then he follows up with his own question. Whose head is this? and whose title? The coin, of course, bears the image of Augustus, Caesar. And the inscription says that he, Caesar, is the son of the divine Augustus of the Roman Empire. Now, here comes one of the twists. Jesus never really answered their question. He didn't answer whether it was lawful or not to pay taxes to Caesar. Instead, after they produce a coin, he tells them, "Give therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's." There you have it. A test, a trap, and a twist. Only here's the thing. I can't help but wonder, what does Jesus' response mean for you and for me? After all, I'm sure you've heard the cynical expression that there are only two things we can count on in this life. And what are they? Taxes and death. Well, there's a high note. Like it or not, all of us have an invisible expiration date written on our forehead. I don't know if you knew that, but I believe it's there. We don't know the day or the hour, but we will all die. And as citizens of the United States, and by the way, every bill that we have has the words written on it, and every coin, "In God we trust." In God we trust. As citizens of the United States, we're all obliged to pay taxes to that distant relative of ours, Uncle Sam, the one nobody ever invites to Thanksgiving dinner, so we don't like him. The taxes that we pay, though, are presumably to be used for the common good of the society, things necessary in order to keep good order and to protect the most vulnerable among us in this great land in which we live and work. So whether or not we agree with all the ways our taxes are being used or misused, I think it's safe to say that we all know that we're obligated to pay these taxes. And so rather than leave us on that note of despair of death and taxes being the only two truths that we can all count on, I'd like to propose a basic premise of our faith. And it comes from Psalm 24, just the first verse. "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it." Jesus would have known that psalm. The Pharisees certainly would have known that psalm. Many in the crowd would have heard that psalm. Our faith teaches that God is the creator of all that is good, and that we humans are created in God's image, and that God has entrusted to us the care of all the earth, everything that God has made. So when Jesus says, "Give to God what is God's," it's all encompassing. Nothing is left out of that. For if we hold to the truth that the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those that live in it, if we hold to the truth that we bear the very image of God, not Caesar's or any other earthly ruler for that matter, if we indeed believe in the premise of our faith that then we also must hold to the truth that as bearers of God's image, we must not only see ourselves as created in the image of God, but also our neighbors. They too are created in the image of God, beloved children of the beloved. Now, if this were the time that we would offer the annual stewardship sermon, I might be inclined to say something along the lines of, you know, God doesn't want your leftovers. God wants first fruit givings. That's true, but I also don't think God wants a tithe from you necessarily. Now, when have you heard a preacher stand in this pulpit and say, God doesn't want your tithe? God wants everything. God wants your whole heart and all your soul, might, and strength. God wants you to step into the offering plate. God wants everything. Above all, God wants your trust. Trust that God has indeed created the earth and all that is in it and those who live in it. Trust that in your baptism, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. That's next to that indelible, invisible marking that has an expiration date on it. The cross of Christ is on your forehead. It's been placed there in the waters of baptism. Trust that you were sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever, and don't fret the small stuff. Don't worry about the certainty of taxes and death or anything else. Go ahead, give to Uncle Sam what is Uncle Sam's, but give to God what is God's. In other words, put your faith and trust in God. And finally, here comes the real twist. And of this you can be sure. Just as you share in Christ's death, you also share in Christ's resurrection. In him we have life, abundant, audacious life, now and forever. For indeed, you are a beloved child of the beloved. Thanks be to God. with the whole church, let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Trusting in the transformative power of God's loving Spirit, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Faithful God, your Spirit enlivens the church throughout the world and binds believers near and far into the body of Christ. Equip us for the work of ministry and enlarge our hearts for the labor of love. God of grace, hear our prayer. Creating God, the seas roar, the earth rejoices, and the heavens are glad at the wonder of all that you have made. Bless the efforts of all who safeguard the riches of creation, as together we seek to faithfully steward all that you have entrusted to our care. God of grace, hear our prayer. Sovereign God, you rule, your rule and authority is over the entire cosmos. Accomplish your purposes through the work of national and international leaders as they work together toward an end to war and violence. Instill wisdom and compassion into all those in positions of authority that they may govern justly, and guide us together with them as we strive for peace and justice for all. God of grace, hear our prayer. Caring God, your arms enfold all who are lonely, oppressed, despairing, sick, and suffering. Today we pray for those in our community who are in need of your healing and comforting presence. We lift up before you Carlin Campbell, Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Gay and Dal Haverlin, Morgan McCrory, Marnie Reinmuth, Stephen Saunders, Gretchen and Jeff Seamus. For whom else do the people pray? Peter and Luke. For all these we've named aloud, for those we hold in our hearts, and for those known only to you, we pray. God of grace, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the gift of marriage and family. Today we lift up the faithful witness of Don and Thelma Montgomery as they celebrate 60 years of marriage, surrounded by their loving family. God of grace, hear our prayer. Everlasting God, the saints of every age have sung your praise and trusted in your promise. Today we entrust our sister in Christ, Connie Rattenberg, to your good care, and we give you thanks for her faithful witness, and pray that someday we may join her and all the beloveds who have gone before us into your unending kingdom. God of grace, hear our prayer. Gracious God, into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your unending love and amazing grace, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let's offer a sign of peace to those who are worshiping with us from home and our friends at the Springs, and also let's greet one another with a sign of peace. We'll continue now with a few announcements of our life together. First, I want to offer up thanks to Deacon Claire for organizing the congregational retreat day at Camp Lutherwood yesterday. That was a retreat we shared with Central, United, and Emmaus, and nearly 50 children, youth, and adults gathered together in that beautiful camp setting for a day of learning and reflection and sharing and getting to know one another. So I want to thank those who participated and also the organizers of that, not just Deacon Claire, but all those who participated in leadership. This week on Wednesday is a midweek coffee hour that will take place. We are starting something new. We had one 2 weeks ago and had many people turn out for that. We're going to offer it on Wednesday between 1 and 2 p.m. So all who are able are invited to join us for some time of informal conversation and coffee and treats. I encourage you to come to through the kitchen entrance to the terrace room and join in that. Also, next Saturday, a work day is being planned for some chores that need to be done on the inside and the outside of the facility. Especially attention needs to be placed at the garden on the corner of 18th and University. And so if you're able to come between 10 and noon, we'll have gloves handy, but if you have them, you can bring them as well. We have plenty of garden tools, but again, if you have some, just bring them along, and we'll trust that many hands will make light work. There will also be some indoor chores to do, so if you don't want to go outside, don't want to get your hands dirty, there'll be other things to do. And this will be rain or shine. A few weeks ago, we celebrated and gave thanks for our Stephen Ministry that's part of our congregation, and it's been at Central for decades now. I just want to remind you that our Stephen Ministry leaders, Gretchen Seamus, Don Suzuko, and Gary Wolf, are currently planning a new training for Stephen ministers that will begin in early January. Pastor Ben and myself, we join them in asking you to begin to prayerfully consider whether God is calling you to become a Stephen minister. So there'll be more information about how to do that, but just begin by prayerfully considering that opportunity. And finally, my final announcement is our endowment committee is soliciting grant proposals that will fund special projects that fall outside of the general budget. And if you'd like to submit an application for a grant for a ministry team that you relate to, you can do so by calling the church office, or we'll have them available in the narthex. Those will be due on November 10th, so you have just a few weeks to think about those things. And now I'm going to call on behalf of the church council. I believe Chuck Swenson has an announcement.
As a representative of the church council, I have a very short but important announcement for you. In accord with the Rostered Ministers Appreciation Month, Central Lutheran Church Council, on behalf of the whole congregation, has expressed gratitude for the service of Pastor Lori Jones, Pastor Ben Nicodemus, and Deacon Claire Joseph Meyer. We give thanks to God for their presence with us, for their leadership, and for the faith and witness they share. Thank you.
invite all who are able to stand. Let us pray. God of power, God of plenty, all things belong to you. We bring your gifts to the table that all might be fed. Form us into the body of your beloved, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, fulfilling the promise of the resurrection. You pour out the fire of your Spirit, uniting in one body people of every nation and tongue. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. For distribution this morning, we'll invite you to come forward to the center aisle, to the floor, where you'll receive the bread in the form of a wafer, and then intinct or dip it in the cup. The cup has red wine or white grape juice. All are welcome at the Lord's table. This is Christ's meal, and it is Christ that bids you come.
Oh,
invite all who are able to stand. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Blessed be your name, O God, for we have feasted on your word, Christ Jesus, the joy and delight of our hearts. Strengthened by this food, send us to gather the world to your banquet, where none are left out and all are satisfied. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I receive the benediction. The blessing of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, surround and sustain you, keep you from harm, and fill you with courage.
Amen.
Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.